Mark chapter 1 is where we are today. I hope you have a copy of God's Word. It is so very important that you interact every day, and especially on Sundays, with the Word of God, not just trusting what I'm saying, not even trusting what I'm putting on the screen, but holding your copy of God's Word. So I invite you to open up your paper Bible. I saw someone tweet about this the other day, that just missing the sound of those turning pages in a congregation. It's great we have electronic Bibles, but those pages turning. And Laura, isn't that right? They need to go down. Yeah, amen. Down at Rayanne's, get you a paper Bible. You can take some notes. I encourage you to do that. And Laura will hook you up down there. But take out your electronic device. That's okay, as long as you're not getting distracted. Take that out and turn there in Mark chapter 1. There should be a Bible somewhere in your row of seats there. You can find in the New Testament. So go to the right half of the book, and you'll find Matthew, then Mark. That's where we are in our study of the Gospel of Mark. We believe the Word of God. We trust that it is God's Word to us, so we value it with great esteem and pay attention to the words that we read, because we believe God is speaking a message to us every time we open the Word of God. And that's the case today. God's speaking to you as we gather on this Lord's Day. Mark chapter 1, beginning of verse 14. After John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As he passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, Simon's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Follow me, Jesus told them, and I will make you fish for people. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in a boat putting their nets in order. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, once again we come before you, grateful for the opportunity to be believers and people who belong to your family. Thank you that through Jesus Christ we are adopted as your sons and daughters. And now, Father, to be a part of this congregation, how special it is each and every Sunday as we faithfully gather together and we lift our voices in one accord to you, we encourage one another, and we open the Word of God that we might be challenged and changed and made like Jesus Christ. Father, as we look today at your Word, may it inspire us and give us great passion for the future, believing that you have placed a high calling on our lives to give all of ourselves to you, Lord, every part of our being for your glory. Lord, we know that you have the power, the willingness, the plan to do mighty and amazing things in our midst, here in our congregation, throughout this community, and throughout this world. God, you are searching for those who would be faithful to that calling, faithful to the task of making a difference in this world. May we be those people. Help us toward that end today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As we open God's Word to Mark chapter 1, we encounter what is really a very difficult time, because as you read there, John was led to prison. It was a bad situation. It really is just a brief statement, but it really captures something that would be quite a sad situation. As we look at our world today, I think we can look out and see a lot of sad situations. We see a world today that is quickly moving further and further away from our biblical values, right? Our worldview doesn't seem to really fit in the world's thinking. As Christian people, the things we hold dear are often ridiculed, questioned, or completely thrown out in the public square. We see in church life how churches are struggling, churches are in decline, denominations are drifting away from the anchors of their faith and their beliefs from years past. And even in our own Southern Baptist Convention, just this past week, some numbers were released. They give out an annual report of the kind of condition, the makeup of our Southern Baptist Convention. And once again, the report came out giving a very sad picture, a continued decline that's happened really over quite a few years. The report highlighted the fact that once again, there's been a decline in the number of churches, the number of total members, the number of baptisms, the numbers in worship attendance, and the numbers with overall giving, all on a path of decline. When we look at the culture around us, when we look at the church that we belong to globally, we see kind of a dire picture. We look at it and we might think, well, this is really sad, or how can there be any hope, or it's all a lost cause. And we start to believe and even act like we're on the retreat, and the world, the devil, the works of Satan, that it's on the offensive and we have no power over it. We're just losing ground. I want us to note today that while we look at John being arrested, Jesus comes on the scene that goes from really dark and bad news to really great and amazing news as Jesus comes on the scene. I want us to understand today that if we look at what happened in this passage and bring it to bear in our congregation, we can have quite the same experience. We can move from what is discouraging and disheartening to an amazing experience of God working in our midst. Are you like me today? Do you want to live in a generation when you see God work in a way in which you've never seen before? Don't you want to be a part during your lifetime of God moving in such a way that you get to be a part of great revival? Don't you want to be a part of something happening in your church when people are spiritually on fire for the Lord and God is working in a powerful way? Don't you want today to live your days and at the end of your days look back and see how God moved in Thomasville, Georgia and turned our town upside down for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Don't you long to live in a day when God, through the sweeping of His Holy Spirit across our land, brings yet again another great awakening? Don't you want to be a part of that in your lifetime? I know I do. Amen, brother. That's what we need. We need that excitement, that zeal, that passion to see God move in unprecedented ways, that we could come to the end of our days and look back and see that God was glorified in our lives and God did an incredible work and lives were changed. Eternity was impacted. And folks, that recipe can be found today as we look here at Mark chapter 1. We can see multitudes of people turn to faith in Jesus Christ. We can see people get excited for God and on fire for the Lord. We can see people discipled in the faith right here in our church and in our community. And it can happen, but several things have to take place first. Four things I believe we see in this passage. Number one, it will require preaching the gospel. Now, it cannot be emphasized enough what we learn from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, what we hold to, I hold to as a pastor, we hold to as a church, and that is, we preach Christ crucified. In other words, the gospel is not about us. It's all about Jesus Christ, that He died for our sins, that He is risen from the dead, that the gospel is all about death to self and being reborn to live for the glory of God. Now, this is so important because we live in a day and time when God is more like a magical genie. And His word there is there for us to encourage us and lift us up to be the people that we want to be, not that God wants us to be. And often people come to a church service or tune in to some speaker or read some book or partake in some devotional because they want God to give them the blessings they feel they deserve. They want God to take away the pain and difficulty of life, and they want to craft this certain life, and they want God to bring it to pass. And God becomes a genie who just does things for us. And we need to remind ourselves today that we preach Christ. It's about the gospel. It's not about us. Notice the sermon Jesus preached here in verse 15. The time has come, He said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Now I want you to notice what's missing here. Jesus didn't come on the scene and start preaching about five ways to get out of debt. He didn't talk about a series of messages on having healthy relationships or how you can be a better person. And listen, don't get me wrong. All those things can be important. They can be part of the entirety of the gospel. And we preach series on all those kind of things. But the heart of all of it, what Christ preached and what we preach, is simply this: repentance and faith. Because that is the heart of the message. And so much of that is absent in much preaching today. Light will shine in the darkness. Great revival can break out when God's people preach the heart and the message, the good news to lost people, a message of repentance and faith. And when that happens, we see true change, true ministry, truly remarkable results. You see, Jesus' ministry was revolutionary because it made more than a temporal change. Jesus didn't come and just patch up lives and give five better tips for a happier marriage. He didn't just come along to try to make the temporal better. He came and he changed eternally with great transformation in the lives of people. So incredible was his ministry in Galilee that the Gospel of Matthew, in the parallel account that tells what Mark's telling us today, we read in chapter 4 of Matthew a quote from Isaiah chapter 9. So if you're taking notes by chance, write Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Matthew chapter 4, verse 15, quoting Isaiah 9, says this: "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, along the road by the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles." Listen to this. "The people who live in darkness have seen a great light. And for those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned, prophesied in Isaiah, fulfilled in Jesus Christ." Because before Jesus, the people in this region were paralyzed by the darkness. They couldn't find their way. You ever been in that situation? You're trying to walk somewhere in the dark. You go out at night and try to find something. You walk through your house in the dark. We just moved to a new house, and now I don't know my way in the dark. I'm running into stuff. We got boxes piled up from moving, and I'm hitting things and hurting myself and screaming in the night. You go through the dark, and it's hard to find your way, right? Well, spiritually, the people were struggling with that very thing. And people were preaching in that day and time, but they'd never been preaching like Jesus Christ. So we ask the question, were there only boring and long-winded preachers in that day? Well, that wasn't the case at all. I'm sure there were a lot of religious leaders of that day who were quite eloquent in their speech, but they didn't have the power, the substance. They didn't have the right content, the right message, the message that Christ brought of repentance and faith. I think about my own preaching. Every preacher. Brother Dan's an outstanding preacher, a great model for me, brother. But you look out as a preacher and you see all these great preachers out there. It's very intimidating. You think, oh, if I could just be a better preacher and communicate like that person, or be as engaging as that other person, or have as much power and authority in that preaching like that person, or the great ability to captivate an audience like another person. And oftentimes I can fall in that trap and think, well, if I could just be a better preacher, and I try and I do what I can do, then I may not be like whatever preacher out there. But here's the thing. What I want to do week after week is simply preach the gospel. And God is blessed and finds us faithful through that reality of just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. As Paul said in Romans chapter 1, and Paul was probably not the best, most eloquent preacher, though he was so well educated and so astute in all things theological, preaching, and a guy falls out of a window and dies because Paul's preaching is so boring perhaps. But in Romans chapter 1 verse 16, Paul said this: "The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." It's the gospel. It's not just through preaching that makes us feel better. It's not through preaching from some great orator. The gospel is what brings people from the darkness and into the light. People paralyzed by the darkness, unable to find their way through the gospel, find this illuminated path that takes them all the way to heaven. But that only comes through the preaching of the gospel. Now let me bring some application. Because I'm saying all that, a lot of people are thinking, yeah, preachers preach, church members sit and listen, you preach, we listen, we come back next Sunday, you preach again, we listen. But that's not what is being communicated here. That's not what we need to understand. It's not just by a preacher behind the pulpit, but preaching from the people in the pews as they go out into the community, into the workplace, into the marketplace, into the home, and share the gospel with lost people. If we want to see the darkness of our world receive light that breaks through it all, if we want to see lives transformed, if we want to see a church in revival, if we want to see a community turned upside down with the message of Jesus Christ, it takes all of us going out into this world and sharing the gospel message. I think about a story many years ago of a young boy named Lee. He was a young teenager, and he and some friends would gather together every day after school in the parking lot of a Baptist church in Fort Worth, Texas. They had a basketball goal in the corner of the parking lot. And these teenagers would gather out there at school, and they would play basketball for several hours. And every day they would do this, and then on Saturdays they would stay even longer. And they were there on Sundays playing basketball. And all through that experience of being there playing basketball in a church parking lot, never did members from that church venture out to those teenagers to invite them to a Sunday school class, to invite them to come into a worship service or some other special event. Never did they go out and tell the story of Jesus to those kids. And this young boy named Lee, as he went through his teenage years, he ended up moving away. He got caught up in the wrong crowd, and he started learning about communism, started studying that type of literature, being influenced by that type of thinking. Eventually, he was in the military here and got out of the military and would move to the Soviet Union. And there was further indoctrinated. And in 1963, Lee moves back to America, and you'd recognize the name Lee Harvey Oswald, and goes on to assassinate John F. Kennedy. Rewind the clock from 1963 to a young teenage boy in a parking lot in Fort Worth, Texas, at a Baptist church. Had someone from that congregation cared enough to go out and tell that young man the gospel of Jesus Christ, how different history might have been? What teenager is out in our community that needs the gospel? What person is in your workplace who needs to hear the story of Jesus? I'm so grateful you've heard my testimony playing basketball at a church, Green Acres Baptist Church in Warner Robins, that as I was playing basketball in January and February, that people were investing in my life, and people came to me and they invited me March 3rd of 1992 to go to a Christian concert, and there I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because there was a church who cared enough to reach out to me and share with me the gospel. These were lay people in the church. We have people we need to go to and tell about Jesus. We make all kind of excuses. Well, I know I need to do it, and Marty's right what he's saying, and I'm going to get around to that. That person, I need to give them a call. I need to take them out for coffee. I need to go visit my family member. I need to just bite the bullet and go ahead and get it done and tell that person about Jesus, and we procrastinate, and we never do it. Jesus said, you notice in our passage, the time is fulfilled. It was time to preach the good news. And the time has come for the Thomasville First Baptist Church for us to preach the good news as well. And when we do, a new day dawns. Light shines in the darkness. Revival comes. Lives are changed. A sweeping harvest of souls happens in our community. And dozens, if not hundreds of people will come to faith in Christ. And we will see them assimilated in our church through the ordinance of baptism like we just saw a moment ago as they symbolize their faith for all the world to see. Don't you long to see that? That we have to condense our services because we have so many people being baptized. Church, where is our fervor? Where is our passion? Where is our longing? Because just like in the time of Christ, we can say today, the time is now. This is the time. This is our moment. This is our time of calling. God has placed us here in this moment of time to share with, in this moment of time, the gospel with people living in this moment of time. We have work to do in sharing the gospel with this lost world. And what an amazing thing it will be when we see all these people transformed and changed. And then our big problem in church is not stuff like who likes what kind of music and what color the carpet is. And who sat in my seat and got my parking space, and why do they change this and do that? But our problem is, what are we going to do with all these people? How are we ever going to disciple this many folks? We don't have enough room in our classrooms for Bible study. We don't have enough room to seat them in an auditorium because there are so many people we're reaching for the gospel. And listen, we sit back in this passive posture and we think, no, that's never going to happen. And oh, we got all these seats and we can do all these other things. And we never think in those terms, but I'm telling you, in the heart of God is for us to be that passionate, that zealous, and I believe with all my heart by faith, if we embark on that, God will bless and we will see God entrust people to our care. He will entrust souls to us as we go forth and show our commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It takes preaching the gospel. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of experience I want to enjoy. At the end of my life, when I'm lying on my deathbed, I want to look back and think of those moments when my life brought God glory, when I saw the hand of God in my midst working in a powerful and miraculous way, and I saw lives changed. Is that your heart today? It takes preaching the gospel. We're going to move quick. Number two, it takes uniting around the gospel. We notice here that Jesus united a team together to reach the world. Let's look at that again. As he passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, Simon's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Verse 17, follow me, Jesus told them. Verse 19, going on a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, a boat, putting their nets in order. Verse 20, immediately he called them. So Jesus gets together this team because it took a team of people to multiply the ministry. You think about the ministry of Christ, it was really quite local. If you look at where he ministered geographically, it was not very far. It was very condensed. He was here on this earth in a limited time, in a limited place. And then through the disciples, it multiplied out even down to what we have in the gospel today. The Lord did this great work as people united around the gospel. I want you to notice here, who did Jesus choose for this team? Were they the great theologians, the philosophers, the wealthy, the prominent? No, right here, they were fishermen. These were ordinary folks, regular, everyday folks like those who are gathered in this room today. And that's the kind of folks God still uses. You might think, well, I'm not capable of doing that. God would never use me for some great revival. God would never use me to reach this world for Christ. Friend, that's not true. That's who God chooses, is the ordinary people. Because as we are weak, His strength is shown in our lives through His power. Our weakness is shown as strength, and we can make a difference in this world. One writer said this, no one believed in the ordinary man as Jesus did. Lincoln said it this way, God must have loved the common people. He made so many of them. That's what we are today, just common people. And that's who God chooses to use. As we commit today to unify together around the gospel, we can be used to spread the gospel in this community and around the world. Friend, we have to make that choice today to unify together, to choose the gospel over everything else, and unite in the Lord's work, because then we can accomplish more, we can go farther, we can reach more people with the gospel. Jesus had a team unite together for the work, and it shook the earth, it changed eternity. And as we as a church unite together with a common passion, a common heart, a unity around the gospel message, and we do what God's called us to do, we will have incredible reach that will turn the world upside down. Light shines in the darkness when we unite in one spirit, in one love, around one vision and one purpose. Would you do that? Would you unite with us? Would you say in your heart a commitment to God today, you know, God, count me in. I want to be part of the team of my brothers and sisters at Thomasville First Baptist Church. It takes preaching the gospel. It takes unifying around the gospel. Number three, it takes building upon the gospel. Notice the words of Jesus to those he called in verse 17. Follow me, Jesus told them, and I will make you fish for people. He called them to no longer be fishermen, but to build their lives on the gospel ministry. What is there that's more important than that? Without crying about it, I'm going to mention that my son graduated yesterday. I'm going to try not to cry about that. But the world would say, okay, Andrew, you've graduated high school. You need to go pursue an education that will then in turn get you a good job, which will in turn help you to make good money so that you can do the things you want in life. That is what life is all about. Friend, that's a fool's errand. What we should ask is, God, how can my life bring you glory? My life is going to be lived for your glory, and then my son and every other graduate and every other person in this room, with that mindset of how does my life bring glory to God, then you work through that filter. God, to bring you glory, where do I need to go to school? What do I need to study? What should be my career? How should I use my money? Where should I live? How should I live my life? Because God, I want my life to bring you glory. But so seldom do we think like that. We miss the calling Jesus has placed on us. He doesn't call us to temporal things. He calls us to eternal things. But yet we get so distracted by the trivial stuff of life that never amounts to anything. At the end of our lives, when we look back, we've not brought God glory. We've not experienced His hand of revival. We've not seen a sweeping work of His Holy Spirit in our community and in this world, because we built our lives on the wrong thing. When you stand before God, all that you've accomplished, all that you've done, how you've spent your time, your talent, your treasure, how much of it will last for eternity? We need to build our lives on the gospel. Finally, let's note this. It takes sacrificing for the gospel. Notice what happened to the lives of the first people we called here. Immediately, Again, we see this multiple times, 40-something times. Mark talks about things happening immediately. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Immediately, verse 20, he called them and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Christ comes with this radical message that required radical sacrifice. They were to give up everything, even good things. I mean, after all, they needed to have a career. They needed income to eat and to have housing. These were all wonderful, normal things. And Christ called them to leave all of that to follow the gospel. How few people are willing to make those kind of sacrifices today? These first disciples left their lucrative businesses. They left their families. They left everything. But they left it for the best thing, following Jesus Christ. I want us to understand today that if we want to see light shine in the darkness, if we want to see true revival happen, if we want to see a great awakening in our community and throughout this country and world, it will come at a cost. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Elizabeth Elliot said it this way, to be a follower of the crucified Christ means sooner or later a personal encounter with the cross. And the cross always entails loss. Are you willing to forsake what you want in life? Even what you want in your church, what you want from your perspective, your personal desires, that we would crucify it all, sacrifice anything and everything for the sake of the kingdom of God. Today, God's calling us to that. If we want to see the light shine into the darkness, things will be challenging, they will be difficult, they will be uncomfortable, things will be costly. But as we sacrifice for the Lord, no matter how high the cost, we will see a new day dawn. We will see the light shine in the darkness. Would you pray with me? As we bow our heads for a moment and think about the challenge from God's word, the ministry that Jesus embarked on, a ministry of repentance and faith, preaching to lost people that salvation has come. As he called these first disciples, we find that the gospel changed everything. The recipe is no different than today. God is still calling us to give up everything, to allow the gospel to change us. And all of us need to be changed in some way. Every single person here, myself included, we need to take next steps toward radical and total obedience to Jesus Christ. So as individuals, as a church, let's embrace and experience God working in amazing ways in our day and time. Let us be the ones who are the hands and feet of Jesus, the mouthpiece of Christ, as we go out into this community with total devotion to Jesus, telling the lost world the story of repentance and faith that brings eternal life. It only comes through Jesus. Church, I hope today we can make a commitment together to preach the gospel, to unify together around the gospel, to choose today to build our lives on the gospel, and to sacrifice anything and everything for the sake of the gospel. Father, help us toward that end. As we make decisions now for you, may we commit ourselves to the gospel ministry, being certain that we are fully on board, fully committed to you before we ever leave this place today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your attention today. Thank you for opening the Word of God with me, studying together. And I believe as we open God's Word speaks to us. So I believe God's bringing to mind next steps we need to take, changes we need to make in our lives, ways that we can be more committed to Jesus Christ. How is God speaking to you? If I can help you navigate that decision to understand better what God may be speaking to you, I would love to talk with you. I'll be right down here singing along with everyone else in just a moment. You can make your way down as we sing. I would love to talk with you about your relationship with God and how to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. If you need to make a commitment to the Lord and you need someone to pray with you, I would be glad to do that. Others are here to do that. We want to help you to take those next steps. Perhaps you want to join this church family. Again, we would love to talk with you. Right now, the important thing is through prayer where you are, talking to me or to someone else, maybe even doing it publicly, kneeling at these steps as God is speaking to your heart. It's very important at this time to respond and to commit yourself as God's Spirit speaks to you. So let's all stand together. Let's make our commitments as God is speaking. If I can help you in any way, you let me know. Let's sing together. Let's make commitments.